This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
So, Father, today we're going to hear your word, and your word says that when faith comes or when the word is preached, faith will come, according to Romans 10:17. Thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. By the way, we've had some renovation with our sound system. Upgraded the sound, and also, did we get our projectors in? New projectors in. I think they were, what, $8,000? $8,000 for two new projectors. So we're constantly upgrading to try to bring a better presentation, particularly online and for you folks as well. So let's thank God for our leadership who's doing all this wonderful stuff for us. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Good seeing all of you. And you can turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 28. And I'm going to ask Pastor Matt to come on down here a minute. And Acts chapter 28. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. But I wanted Pastor Matt to just share something. Last couple Wednesdays, he's been sharing on revival. And I just wanted to remind you of the three points that he preached on last Wednesday. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Oh, you got a mic? No.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. Hungry for God?
Yeah, right there. There's three points. I mean, just remind us of the three points, basically. That's it.
Yeah, so if you were here Wednesday, if not, go back and listen to the sermon. But it was really about the 120 in the upper room had to have some attributes to receive what the Holy Spirit was, what the Lord brought that group through the Holy Spirit. And one of the attributes was they were hungry for God.
Yes.
They were in a time of persecution. The Romans were trying to snuff out this whole, even the Jews were trying to snuff out this whole Jesus thing. And they were in the upper room praying and believing God for that Holy Spirit to come. So they were hungry for God.
Amen.
I keep thinking about how they came out into this crowd of people, because it was a Jewish festival, speaking about Jesus.
Yeah.
In the midst of a group of people that were anti-Jesus and anti the message of Jesus on the cross. And they went out there and they started proclaiming Jesus.
Amen.
How did they do that? How do we do that today? Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And they were hungry for God. The second thing we talked about was they were yielded to God. We talked about how a seed has to go into the ground and die first before it can grow and produce fruit. And that's the same with us. Unless we die to our own agenda, our own desires. Really, it's really cool because when we delight ourselves in Him, He gives us the desires of our heart. And how does that work? Well, our desires become His desires as we delight ourselves in Him.
Amen.
And we just talked about how as we step aside and we say, less of me, more of you, we're actually fulfilling the call that God's placed in our life, where He uses our giftings that He birthed us with. We were born with a gifting, but we have to step outside of what people think of us. We have to step outside of doing it just perfect or, you know, these things about performance. And we step outside of that and we say, Lord, we want you to do it through me.
Amen.
And I yield to the words you have me speak. Sometimes, many times, Fred, right? We go up to someone, we have one thing to say to them. Jesus at the door, whatever it is. We have one thing to say. We have no idea what we're going to say after that one thing. But we say that one thing. We yield to that one thing to say. How are you doing? Can I pray for you? Whatever the Lord speaks to you to say to that person. And then the next thing comes. The Bible says He reminds us of things to say. The word that was planted in our hearts. And it's a great thing because we step outside of people's approval for God's approval.
That's it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yep. Yielded. The third thing we haven't talked about
yet. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. The third thing we didn't talk about it yet. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to finish this in Jesus' name. It's about being captivated by God.
All right. Captivated by God. Awesome.
It's different than being hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They come back and hear that on a Wednesday night, too.
Smitten. Yeah, in other words, smitten by God.
Smitten by God. Awesome. Thank you. Gave me a nice little rest. But, you know, those three things were applied in Paul's life.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul. We're going to take a look at his life a little bit today. And Paul was a wonderful prophet. When you think about it, he wrote nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. And by the way, I'm not a prophet. Last week, now, I was kidding around with you, and I told you that, wouldn't it be something if the Steelers would beat Tampa and the rookie quarterback beat the veteran quarterback? And I said, wouldn't that be something? I said, you folks would think I'm a prophet, huh? Well, they did. And some of you texted me and said, you're a prophet. No, I'm not really a prophet. No. Anyhow, I sometimes I prophesy, but see, you can prophesy and not be a prophet, okay? Under edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay. But anyhow, did you find that in Acts 28 yet? The Apostle Paul was a wonderful prophet. It says in verse 16, 28, 16, and when we arrived in Rome, Paul was permitted to have his own private lodging, though he was guarded by a soldier. They gave Paul a house to rent. He was under house arrest. And Father, we thank you for this word. Illuminated in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 3 days after Paul's arrival, he called together the local Jewish leaders. He said unto them, brothers, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Roman government. Even though I had done nothing against our people, the Jews, or the customs of our ancestors, the Romans tried me and wanted to release me, but for they found no cause for the death sentence. But when the Jewish leaders protested the decision, I felt it necessary to appeal to Caesar, even though I had no desire to press charges against my own people. I asked you to come here today so we could get acquainted and so I could tell you that I am bound with this chain because I believe that the hope of Israel, the Messiah, has already come. You know, the Jews today are looking for Messiah to come. How many know he's already come? Yeshua HaMashiach has already arrived. He's been here. Glory to God. They replied, we have heard nothing against you. We have no letters from Judea or reports from anyone who has arrived here. But we want to hear what you believe. They wanted to hear what he believed. They were open. They were receptive. For the only thing we know about these Christians is that they are denounced everywhere. So a time was set, and on that day a large number of people came to Paul's house. He told them about the kingdom of God and taught them about Jesus from the scriptures, from the five books of Moses and the books of the prophets. He showed them how everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Types and shadows and sacrifices and all these things point to Jesus, and it was very convincing to them. But notice, he did this right in his own house, you know, that he was renting. He was under house arrest. I don't think he had probably an ankle bracelet or anything like that in those days. But he began lecturing in the morning and went on into evening. Some believed and some didn't. But after they had argued back and forth among themselves, they left with this final word for Paul. The Holy Spirit was right when he said to you, to our ancestors, through the Isaiah the prophet. And they went on to quote some scriptures in Isaiah about people not being open and receptive, being hard-hearted, and hearing they don't hear, and seeing they don't see, and so forth. Jump down to verse 28. So I want you to realize that this salvation from God is also available to the Gentiles. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles too. And they will accept it for the next 2 years. Now here's what Paul is doing in his imprisonment. Toward the end of his life, for the next 2 years, Paul lived in his own rented house. He welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God with all boldness and reaching, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. Wow. He was motivated, wasn't he? He was inspired. He was constrained by the love of God, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Let's take a look at some of the attributes here of Paul. This was his chief aim, to make disciples, to transform lives, to share Jesus. He was looking at eternal things. How many know the temporal does not satisfy, but the eternal does? And so when you share the word of God, it's eternal. When you get a life born again or transformed or make a disciple, that's eternal business. And now you're going to find real fulfillment, like Paul did. He was so satisfied. He was so happy that he's sharing the gospel. He gets this opportunity to share the gospel with both Jews and Gentiles alike. What made Paul tick? What made Paul who he was? What motivated him? Huh? Here was an intense desire to share Jesus and advance the kingdom. Well, it all started with his visitation of Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And he fell off his horse and was blinded. And you know the story. He went into Damascus, and Ananias came to him and prayed for him. And the blinders lifted, and he was healed, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and went right out and began to preach. It all began with that. But then, from that moment on, the Apostle Paul identified with Jesus. Point number one today, he fully identified. We're looking at characteristics now of Paul, and we can apply them to our own lives. He fully identified with Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2:20, you know this scripture. This is the premier identification scripture that says that we are to identify with Jesus. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to read that now from the Message Bible. Here's how it sounds. I identified myself completely with him. It uses the word identification. Everybody say it with me. It's okay. To identify with Jesus. I don't want to identify with Hilton John or Tom Brady, huh? Kenny Pickett, Altuve from the Houston Astros. By the way, they won last night. He's a Christian. That's right, exactly. I guess you could get identify with him. That's right. So we're no longer to identify necessarily with people in the world, unless they're following Christ, but you can identify with the supreme head of the universe, Jesus, the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one. So, he says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Just go ahead and identify with Jesus, because the more you identify with him, the more you're going to see victory. The more you're going to see success in your life. The more you're going to leave the world behind you and advance and be promoted and get God's blessings in your life. Identifying with him. I was talking to a guy. He told me he was watching a Steeler game, and his daughter was trying to study upstairs. Well, he got excited. He's shouting about the Steelers, you know. And his daughter comes to out of her room and she says, Dad, what are you shouting about? What are you getting so excited about? He says, honey, you don't understand. I'm on that field with them. He was identifying with the team, with the Steelers. And I suppose that's all right, except, you know what? Identify with Jesus. More than anything else. And so, he knew, the Apostle Paul knew he had a covenant relationship with God. Take a look at Psalm chapter 89. He knew who he was. He knew who he was serving. Psalm 89, verse 34. Oh, glory to God. I'm happy. How about you? Psalm 89, verse 34, it says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. God saying, my covenant, you're in a covenant relationship, the new covenant, which is a new and better covenant than the old. You are in a binding agreement. What I have is yours. You've given yourself to me, and now I will take care of you, because we're in a blood covenant, signed and sealed by the blood of the Lamb. And he says, I will not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So you can take it to the bank. Whatever he has promised in his word, you can stick to it Because it will transpire. It will come to pass. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. So, the Apostle Paul wanted others to partake of what he partook of. What God did in Jesus, you and I can receive and partake of. And his was called the Pauline Revelation, and he wanted every person to partake of that and receive redemption and be cleansed from their sins and be washed and have a brand new start in life, have a new destiny, a new purpose, a new mentality, glory to God, and a new image. So, isn't that wonderful? Our sins can be forgiven, and then we walk as he walked. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him, well, I'm abiding in Jesus. All right, if you're abiding in him, you're saying you're abiding in him, let him also walk even as he walked. How did he walk? A holy walk. A purified walk, right? But a victorious walk. So that's the first point today. If we get that up on the screen, I guess we did. Fully identify with Jesus. And by the way, you know, the good scripture for that is Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Another good one is also Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 that says, be ye imitators of Christ. Imitators. And we're to imitate him. In other words, identify with him. Be imitators and walk in love as dear children. So we walk in love as he walked in love. We love as he loved. Point number two today is he lived with an expectation. The Apostle Paul lived with an expectation that good things were going to happen, that he was going to be able to share the gospel and people were going to get saved. And he didn't live with a negative attitude. He had a good mental attitude anticipating things. In fact, look at this scripture in Psalm 71:14. Psalm 71:14. He had an expectation of good things. I just thought of another scripture, Psalm 27:13, that says that we need to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. What are you believing to see? Well, the worst always happens to me. No, believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Amen. I said the goodness of the Lord. Is that what you're anticipating? Is that what you're looking for? Psalm 71, verse 14 says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Now, one translation, it says, I will hope continually, it says, I will expect continually. When you wake up in the morning, are you expecting? What's God going to do today? What good thing is he going to do? What supernatural thing is God going to do? What miracle is God going to do? Who's going to be touched by the gospel today? That's the attitude that Paul had. He was looking and expecting good things to come to pass. And expect it not just periodically, you know, once in a while, here and there, sporadically. No, it says continually. Are you expecting continually every single day? Say, what's God up to today? What marvelous thing is he going to accomplish today? I'm going to check this. Let me just check yourself right now and ask yourself, what good thing are you anticipating in your heart today? Huh? What possibilities are in your sights? No matter how large or seemingly impossible they may be. You know, when we started out 41 years ago in Elwood City, we had an anticipation. We had an expectation. And yes, we stepped out and took a risk. It may involve a risk, but what's that called? That's faith, isn't it? And God brought it to pass. And, you know, we've got a pavilion out here that we're going to fit. We still have some construction to do on it and finish it off. But I have a desire. I have an expectation that we're going to see a nice fellowship hall right out here to the east of us between this building and the garage someday. And how many are in agreement with me? All right. We're anticipating. We're expecting. We're looking for God to do good things. So what are you stretching your faith to receive and to expect? By looking for God to do something big, extraordinary, or spectacular, or mind-boggling, you are in line with this scripture in Psalm 71:14. You are continually expecting. So let's learn to live with this expectation of His manifestation, His glory, and His power. Can you shout amen, somebody? Amen. Like Woody Woodson says. Stop looking for the worst, the uneventful, the blasé. Paul anticipated a harvest, conversions, transformation. In fact, look at Psalm 70. Oh, I'm running out of time. Look at Psalm 71:18. It says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." So what about you old folks, like me? "Until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." That's my assignment. Even in your old age, show forth His glory. Show forth His works. Declare His works among the people. Even in your old age, even when you got gray hair, and I keep getting a haircut because the gray hair starts showing and I get that clipped off then. But so point number two, live with an expectation. And listen, our expectation is not a reliance on man or humanity, because man may let you down. But when we're dependent upon Him, we can live in a constant state of expectation. Constantly. Today, expect Him to reverse your dilemma, to open some doors that no man can shut, to give you favor according to Psalm 5:11 and 12. You say, but yeah, perhaps not every one of your expectations will materialize or become fruitful. Well, that's true. Some even say, well, unrealistic expectations can create an atmosphere for depression. Well, what is your expectation? Take it before God. Ask Him, is this unrealistic, Lord? Or is this on your agenda? Is this within your category to come to pass? Well, be led by the Spirit, because the Bible tells us God, with God, nothing is impossible. Stop looking to a particular event to bring you joy and peace and happiness, like Christmas or a vacation at the beach or a ball game. I listened to the Cleveland Guardians got beat in the playoffs. And the coach, Terry Francona, is really originally from this area, from New Brighton. And he said, they were interviewing him and asking him dumb questions. And he says, hey, listen, these guys are in the locker room, they're heartbroken because they've gone the whole year for this particular thing to win. And now they didn't, and so they're heartbroken. But wait a minute. We can't let temporal things get us up or down. Absolutely. Huh? Amen. If you're relying on Christmas to make you happy, yeah. What happens after Christmas? Yes. Now you're down. Yeah. No. Just let Him produce your joy. Let Him give you the happiness that you need. And trust in eternal things, not temporal things, right? Because those things fluctuate. You can have joy when you base your entire life on eternal values and the eternal one. And that's exactly what Paul did. Amen. And we can have Christmas every day, because every day you ought to be celebrating Messiah's birth. But it is fun to stretch your faith as far as it'll go so that you can see what will God do today. And so, take a risk. Get involved with Operation Saturation. Help us to saturate this area with the Word of God and make a difference in people's lives. When the seed is planted, people will get born again, because the Bible says it is the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Amen. So look what Paul accomplished. 3 missionary journeys, impacted Asia Minor, wrote the New Testament. Point number 3. He was compelled not only by love, 2 Corinthians 5:14, but he was also compelled by the Word within. He was compelled by the Word that was on the inside of him. And I'm finishing up right now. Go to Jeremiah. That's the last point. Chapter 20, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. We see these things about Paul's life. What made him tick? What motivated him? Why was he who he was? Jeremiah 20, verse 9, notice what it says. Now, this is Jeremiah going through some things, and he says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him," meaning God, "nor speak any more of his name." Jeremiah got down. He got depressed. He said, "That's it. I'm not talking about God. I'm not bragging on God anymore. I'll just keep my mouth shut. I'm done. Stick a fork in me," you know. He was exasperated. And Jeremiah was quite disheartened, but it wasn't God's fault. You know, stop blaming God for your calamities. There's a devil loose that doesn't like you. He's holding back your finances. He's holding back your health. Break his power and believe God in every area. Amen? But don't blame God. God's not the bad guy. Have you ever gotten hurt or disappointed? And you thought, "Well, I'm just going to keep quiet about God." Well, that's what happened to Jeremiah. "I'm going to keep my big mouth shut. I'm not saying anything about God." But something happened. His word, God's word, was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary from forbearing, and I could not stay. I tried as hard as I could not to say anything. I tried, and I was becoming weary, trying so hard to forbear and keep it inside, but I just couldn't, because the word began to bubble up on the inside like a fire, like a volcano on the inside. It was germinating. It was percolating, man, and I couldn't keep it in any longer. And finally, I had to speak the word of God. Woo! Glory to God. And that's the way the Apostle Paul was. The word within him had taken root. He couldn't ignore it. He began to speak what God had placed in his heart. That word was kind of like a good irritant on the inside. He couldn't repress it any longer. Grew tired trying. So he just cut loose. Let it go. He could not hold back. He let go. And when he spoke, everything changed. When he spoke the word of God, everything changed. When you take that word that's on the inside and you begin to speak it, that's when things begin to change. I said, when you speak it out loud, that's when things begin to change. You've heard me say before that the door of the supernatural rests on two hinges, believing and speaking. And Job said in Job 22:28, he says, "Decree a thing or declare a thing, and it shall be established." When you decree it, it shall be established. Start decreeing, "Devil, take your hands off of my kids. Take your hands off of my finances. Take your hands off of my marriage. Take your hands off of my home. In Jesus' name." You begin to decree something. You begin to speak it, because there's power in that. You remember when Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says that he cast out the spirits with his word. The word "cast out" is one Greek word. It is ekbalo. Ekbalo. And it means to thrust back, push back, way back. Thrust it back, cast it back. Push it back. That's what it means. And those adverse forces that are opposing you will be pushed back when you begin to speak the word. Amen. The same as Jesus did. Amen. Pastor. He cast out the spirits with his word. The devil wants you to keep your mouth shut. That's right. No, you take that word that's on the inside and you begin to speak it, and you're going to see results. Amen. I've been there many times, you know. Just wanted to be hard-headed and just, you know, sulking or what have you. But no, when I found myself speaking the word of God, it broke something. It broke something. I decreed a thing, and it says it shall be established. The word interfered with my fleshly impulses. It straightened me out, set me on a right course. It erupted like a volcano, and it spoke out of my mouth and corrected the situation. I'm sure Paul at times was frustrated with the Jews, not really wanting to hear what he had to say. Some believed, some didn't, it says. But he kept on sowing the word in love. and didn't let it affect him adversely. Amen. That word will give you a new hope, new direction. It'll even make you resourceful. When a problem arises, God will give you a resourceful solution. It's, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. Thank you, Lord. I'll do that, and it solves the problem. How many want to be resourceful? Amen. Creative. Give you creative ideas to turn your situation around. Glory to God. So, begin to decree some things, and it shall be established. When your children are tempted, that word that's on the inside will just come right up and command the devil to hit the road. When your children are tempted to take, what is that drug we were talking about? The one that looks like candy now? Fentanyl, yeah. And your kids are going to rise up and say, get out of here with that stuff. In Jesus' name. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that's not going to happen to me. Or maybe you're tempted to look at pornography. Well, the word will rise up on the inside. Here's a good word, by the way, to help rise up on the inside of you. Job 31:1, look at this. Let that word rise up. Notice it says here in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. I made a covenant with mine eyes. I made a quality decision. Why then should I think upon a maid? Why should I let my eyes roam to some other woman? And then another good scripture, Psalm 101:3. So you made a covenant. No, I'm not going to have Roman eyes. 101:3. Why? Because it'll mess things up. Mess your life up. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm not going to set any wicked thing before my eyes. If something comes on that TV that's wicked, shut her off. Even if it's a commercial. You even got to watch the commercials today. Amen. Or maybe, I changed my gender. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says God made them male and female. Right? And that word's going to rise up in your kids and talk to them. And so the word will speak to us. And I'm just going to stop right there. I got more, but we're going to stop right there. Where's that light again? Thank you for the light. So, what I tell you, Psalm 39, is it? And verse 6. Yeah, Psalm 39. No, that ain't it. In thy light is more light. Maybe it's Psalm 36. 36:9. Ah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. For with thee is a fountain of life. Psalm 36:9. In the last part, in thy light shall we see light. You say, I want to see more revelation. I want to get more direction from God. I want to know what the Bible has to say. Well, get under the light. And guess what? He says you'll get more light. You'll get more illumination. You'll get more revelation. So when you're walking in that light, see, you're going to get more and more revelation. You say, I want to have more resourceful, creative ideas in life. Stay under the light, and you're going to do that. I want to be more productive. I want to flourish in my old age and stay under the light, because new, fresh ideas are going to come to you. Witty inventions and all those things. When you're walking in the light, you're quiet today. How many agree with that? Raise your hand if you agree with me. All right. Thank you so much for the light. Let's stand today. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, Psalm 36:9. In light, we shall see more light, more direction. You'll become skillful in the word of righteousness. That's kind of what we've been preaching on lately, becoming skillful in the word of righteousness. Hallelujah. Moving on to meat. Not just being babes all of our lives, but growing up, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm happy. How about you? You know, the word will give you strength. Yes, it will. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, I have strength from God's word. Glory to God. Well, let's praise Him today as we go. First of all, those of you who haven't prayed that prayer, let's just pray it right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive that word today. I receive Jesus as my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of all my past sins. Thank you for loving me, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're a child of God, brand new in Him. You have a new identity, like Paul. You have a new image. Just get a new mentality and a new destiny from His Word. Amen. Let's praise Him as we go, church.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.